went back over the formulas in that budget used to forecast things, and they improved the outlook a little bit. Basically, those updates show us about a $15,000 net increase in projected revenue, and show expenses a little bit less than we saw last month in a few areas. So that should the station perform according to the assumptions in this budget, which is never precisely the case, but we hope that we're close, KPFA would have about $72,000 more at the end of the year than it did at the start of the year. In terms of how we get there, it's a little bit painful. I talked last month about both the rising costs we have internally from things like the price of health benefits for employees going up about 20% a year. There's also increasing pressure on KPFA's budget from a national level, which I had hoped we would get to those motions to discuss and deal with. What the budget shows, which I think is good, is it conservatively forecasts a decrease in on-air listenership support. It's an assumption that we won't have as much next year as we did this year, because this year we missed a couple goals. We're assuming that there's an actual downward trend to be safe, rather than that we're going to make what we already did this year. It also lowers goals to a level that management thinks will allow us to have one less total day of fundraising on the air per year. You'll recall that this year we trimmed the total number of days of fundraising by 2 over the course of the year. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it feels good to ratchet it down a little bit each year, and not get into the place where we keep extending the drives and getting diminishing returns and alienating our listeners who'd rather be listening to uninterrupted coverage. Other changes since last month. We've had a $20,000 increase in KPFA's contingency line. That's basically padding for the unexpected. So that's good. And just so no one's confused by something that Pacifica's CFO asked us to do in the presentation of this budget, because he sometimes refers to it in confusing ways, there's a line in the cash and capital section of the budget, which you would see on page 5. That is labeled surplus prior year. What it's saying is that the low water mark in terms of KPFA's bank accounts is a couple weeks into the fiscal year. You're basically spending more than you're taking in until the fall fund drive starts. And what he wants us to show is that there's the cash on hand for the station to function during that period until it starts to have a positive cash flow. Well, we started this fiscal year with almost $1 million in savings. According to our forecast for this year, we'll have more cash in the bank at the end of the year, which is a good thing. We want the station to have about 3 months operating expenses in reserves so that it can deal with upsets. So what the station's showing in the budget is how much we might have to temporarily lift from our savings account to go through that period. There would still be a net increase in KPFA's assets at the end of the year under this budget. The budget anticipates about $143,000 in gross salary reductions. It was the, in management's opinion, the only way to get the numbers to balance next year. Because of the reduced fund drive income, because of the rising cost of health benefits. There has actually been a decrease in staffing through attrition this year already, which is good. It makes next year less drastic and less painful. But this is management's proposal based on a forecast of less on-air revenue, $143,000 staffing reduction, a bottom-line surplus of about $70,000, a contingency of about $56,000, that's wiggle room for the unexpected, leaving KPFA at the end of the year, hopefully with about 3 months' cash on hand in the bank, in case, for instance, an earthquake should happen when we had intended to go into a fund drive, or something along those lines. In terms of what we know about this year, the budget you have before you now has updated comparison numbers to our forecast for this year. The forecast for this year for fiscal year 2007, which ends at the end of September, has improved since the last time I showed you all a budget. Variety of reasons, looking over trends in renewals, looking at what's expected for a major donor event in September, and some of our expenses coming in under. The bottom line is we're now forecasting a surplus of about $200,000 at the end of the year, which is what we budgeted to get our savings where we wanted the stations to be at. So it's good. Next year's budget numbers look better against this reforecast of this year as well. They look even more conservative, by which I mean prudent, not politically right, than what we got last year. In terms of the process we've been through, we've gotten really good input from board members. Some board members, like Anthony and Chandra, have caught a couple things in the budget where there were small formula errors that we fixed now. I think the budget's more accurate as a result. And we've had two study sessions that were open for board members to come in and discuss the budget with the general manager, the business manager, the people who drew it up, ask questions, make suggestions. Went through a draft review last month, and I can safely say we have more detail in this budget than last year. We've added a page that shows the expense and revenue from the annual crafts fair on a board member's request. You have detailed salary information in here for every employee. You have expense line breakouts into sub-accounts showing exactly what's being spent in each category. We have significantly more financial detail in this budget than any other station in the Pacifica network, as we should. And we're getting better. We have more detail than we had last year when we approved the budget. So with that, Lois is on hand to answer questions about the assumptions or forecasts in this budget, how she arrived at the numbers she did. Why don't we take questions for her? Noel.
I guess this is just for the record. I find it shocking and unbelievable that we could do a report on the budget and we could not mention that in the last 18 months, KPFA has spent $555,000 on legal expenses. You just gave us a treasurer's report for projecting what your potential expenses might be in 2008. I think it would be relevant to look at the audited budget of 2006 and see a line item of $392,000. I think it would be relevant to look at the to-date budget for 2007, which has a line item of something like $160,000, and to know that our personnel policies and our practice has not put us in a position where this won't happen again. So, the fact that we don't discuss it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I'm shocked. I ran for this board because I wanted to make sure that KPFA was financially solvent and responsible, and I find your personnel practices abhorrent, and I find the fact that you bury the $555,000 in legal expenses and not even talk about it just stunning.
I'm not going to comment to that since that's not a budgetary question. I would like to say, though, what I'm going to say is that we're working on policies and procedures and proper training of management, which has not happened in the past, and I'm going to leave it at that. I think we have budgeted properly for what we know of for legal this year.
Yeah, it's my understanding that the station budgets legal expenses based on what it knows about any pending litigation and its lawyers' best guesses. I believe the station has settled a legal action that cost us a lot of money and doesn't anticipate further costs from that next year. In terms of its personnel policies and procedures, I will point that current management has brought on a human resources consultant who has been dealing with personnel complaints subjectively to me. Seems like a very competent person. I'm glad to have him on. That the station's been updating its policies and that it's instituted mandatory sexual harassment trainings for anyone who supervises anyone at the station. Next one's happening on Tuesday. So, yeah. Mary. Mary.
Yeah, I am just curious that it looks as if the trend is to keep having less and less on-air income and higher major donor income, because those are the figures I see. This is disturbing to me. I think there are lots of reasons why it would be disturbing to have more and more funding in the hands of fewer and fewer people rather than the actual listeners who are listening. I think is not a very good idea as far as this original mission and thrust of this network. I am saddened by that, and I wonder if this is, am I seeing this correctly? I hear that every year they want not every year. You mentioned dropping another day off the fundraiser, and it seems as if the idea is to keep dropping days, and then we're correspondingly adding these other ways of getting money.
Well, we should clarify, Mary, that there's an accounting quirk. There's $322,000 in major donor income that appears on a different line this year. So this budget is actually showing a decrease against what we received this year.
Well, but the projected budget asks for there's $350,000. I think I can't see the item right in front of me right this minute. But the major donors, $360,000 budgeted as opposed to the $250,000 in FY07.
Right.
So that's a projection. That is what a goal sort of that we want to reach.
Right. I think
correct?
We have a misclassification here, because you're thinking of major donor as large donors giving money, and this line item is actually bequest, trust, plan giving, and in-kind donations. That's how Pacifica
right.
has us classify it.
Right. I understand
that. So
that's
what that line item is. It's actually not mm-hmm. large donors.
Well, not large living donors. Yeah. No, I understand that. It includes all of those other things. But I'm wondering where, if this is in fact the goal to reduce the amount of donations requested from the large body of listener subscribers, as happens in the fundraisers, where else, where are the funds projected to be coming from? Are there also some kinds of corporate grants being included or looked to in the future as ways of getting revenue? If we keep decreasing the on-air money, we're going to have to make it up somewhere. And that's my question. What are the plans for doing that other than what I can make out from this particular year's budget?
As Brian stated earlier, we have decreased some expenditures that we could control, and we have some more grants in here. I wouldn't say, though, they're corporate grants, but they're some grant funding that is actually shown on the budget. So there's a huge amount of ways that you go about trying to make up for short revenues. And maybe we won't have to implement everything that we know of right now if these numbers are actually higher than we forecast. But it's prudent to forecast your revenue low, because if you over forecast revenue and you can't meet your expenditures, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So I think the main thing we're trying to do is be prudent here by forecasting less revenue.
Yeah, Mary, let me just clarify also. It is showing a decrease in major donor support next year, not against what was budgeted for this year, but against what was actually received. In terms of the station strategy, we have to look at what we think is realistic based on our fundraising performance on the air. I mean, I think the thing we all stare down is the prospect of what's happened at WBAI, where they spend one out of every 3 days on the air fundraising now, because when they've come up short and budgeted unrealistically for listener support, they just wind up extending their fund drives ad infinitum. Now, the major donations, the big chunk of this is people leaving us their property and their wills. This is absolutely no string attached money.
No, that's not my...
I mean,
it's
the
that.
Opposite of having conditions on your funding.
I understand it
maintains editorial independence to a degree that actual on-air listener support does not.
I understand that. That's I guess my question is, if the goal is, I understand that you certainly are prudent. I have, in my tiny way, have been responsible for making budgets, and of course you do that. But if we keep intending to shorten the on-air time, the ways in which we can get support from listeners, of course that revenue would have to drop, projection or no, that's obvious.
No, whereas the budget and shows an increase.
The fear of BAI is one thing, but why not about KPFT and KPFK, both of which did very well? I mean, to keep citing the bugaboo of how awful about BAI, and we might end there too.
Well,
why not focus on how that we might find ways of increasing the revenue from on-air subscribing rather than keeping on limiting it because it's not doing well? That seems, and that's, I guess, I am wondering what the philosophy or the motivation behind that trend that I'm seeing is. Where will we be looking for money? We are not going to be looking, we are increasingly going to be looking for less and less of it from the on-air fundraising, according to what you have said, so there may be none at all at some point. Where would we be looking is my question. We will have to be looking somewhere for the revenue, and we can't keep cutting salaries because that doesn't seem to make sense after a point. Yeah. So that's my question. Where are we going to be looking?
I will point out that some of what this budget does is shift that grassroots listener support off air, so it anticipates more direct mail drops to listeners. Yeah, direct mail to people in our listening area so that they have an opportunity to give without being cajoled for 20 minutes at a time on the air during their favorite program. And I think that is a solid way to... the fine line you run with a fund drive, right, is that you're raising money, but you're also driving away listeners. Some percentage is going to go find out what's on the air that's more interesting, and they might find something they like better and stay there for a while. No, I think it's a real concern. So... things like direct mail, things like fundraising events, different ways to contact your listeners, these are good places to shift your fundraising onto.
Then why have we budgeted less in for fundraising events in 08 than we did in 07?
Hold on.
I said budgeted, not...
Mm-hmm. In reference to KPFK, they've extended all their recent fund drives, this most recent one, by nearly 4 days, which is very troubling because they basically have no cash reserves and they're running a deficit this year. They meet their goal, but they meet their goal late, and after going longer than they planned. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
But Mary, we are actually trying to reach more listeners. I think by putting up some of the equipment that we put up in Mount Diablo and some other areas, we are trying to increase listenership. And so it could be that next year's budget will look entirely different, depending on what happens this year. But the trend through Arbitron is that radio listenership is declining overall, and we can't forecast something higher than this right now, but that could change.
I'll just go down the line. Henry?
I wanted to ask a little bit about, I'm a little unclear, and I hope you can help me, about the salaries and related expenses. The way it's accounted here, I'm looking on page 3, the reduction apparently is in salaries consists almost entirely of this negative item called salary reduction contingency, whereas the actual, the items below that, the actual gross salaries and so on, are either the same or higher or a little bit lower than the current forecast for 07. So what are we... how are we actually reducing our salaries? Where does that contingency item, what does that actually mean? And if we are actually reducing headcount, can you explain what departments or areas of operations are actually going to lose? I mean, I know there's personnel issues, but, you know, in terms of policy priority, where are we going to cut?
You can see the headcount numbers on, I believe it's on the front here. Well, let's see. Yeah. On headcount FTs, the last line on the front page, so you can see what's happening there. The contingency line item is, this is how Lonnie wanted to show it, and it will probably be mostly in the programming area.
So we don't know, but what we were told in a study session by KPFA's general manager is that the staffing cuts would be in all departments. That would be operations, administration, and programming.
So just a quick follow-up. So then basically what if I understand Lois's answer, then what this really means is that, well, we've got these numbers for general and administrative gross salaries, programming gross salaries, and development gross salaries, and somewhere out of all that we're going to cut $143,000, and but we're not actually budgeting those cuts onto those particular items at this time?
Right, we're not. I wasn't given the actual people, so I wouldn't know exactly how much from each area. So that's something that's very confidential at this point.
So, Lois, just to make sure I understand correctly, the numbers you have in those categories are what they would be prior to the cuts,
mm-hmm.
and then the cuts are listed as an aggregated amount. Is the reason that several of those numbers are less than this year's projections because there were mid-year cuts to staffing?
Yeah, mid-year people that left that weren't replaced.
So there was higher spending on salaries at the start of this year. There was some attrition mid-year. There were people with seniority pay who left who were replaced with people with less seniority pay. So that's why on gross salaries, not benefits, benefits go up, but on gross salaries, you see a decrease even without those cuts implemented. Does that make sense? Who else? LaVarn, did you have your hand up?
First, I like the way things are going, but I would like to ask Lois to do a quick little summary so we can get her perspective on what the budget is and how it has developed and how we're doing this year. You know, no more than 2 minutes or less. If you could just do a little summary, then I have some questions. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm assuming you want me to summarize figures for... Okay.
So everyone will have a better perspective.
So what I think it's important to note in what Brian was mentioning about prior year surplus is if you look at the bottom line net surplus, it looks like it's $153,355, but that's taken into account you're using prior surplus money. So the actual overall revenue for the year would be about $79,000, just over $79,000, just under $80,000 for the year. That would be your true net for the year. And listener support itself, we have budgeted at $3,234,000 and major donors at $350,000. And we, of course, have our CPB grant in there, which is declining slightly. It's not a huge decline, and that's because of a shift they're making in how they're giving out funding next year. They're trying to target more rural stations. And we have our grants income, which is going up slightly because I think there's a couple of grants that have been actually grant writing that's been done, and they're hopeful about some of those. And we have our toxics grant at $70,000, which is consistent with what happened this year. So you've got overall income at $4,500,000. And then you go on with your expenses. And they're recapped on the front sheet. And you've got total salaries and related at $2,300,000. Total administrative spending at $457,000. Total programming at $294,000. Total development at $489,000, and community events, which includes the crafts fair, at $121,000. So that total operating expenditures are $3,670,000. And then we have the central service payment that we make, and that's about $647,000. And then you've got your net before the capital spending, which is $205,000. And then we go into the capital worksheet, which shows what we're going to be spending for the transmitter and the computer equipment and overall equipment, the contingency for legal and capital, the capital building improvements that will that we know about right now that we're going to be undertaking, so that we've got total cash and capital at about $52,000. That includes the prior year surplus. So if you take out the prior year surplus, you're actually spending in the capital section, just capital overall expenditures, and that would leave you at about $127,000, I believe, in capital expenditures for the year. That's the building. Anything that's capitalized is anything that's $3,000 or more as an expenditure, and means that it's a long term. You're going to see a long term benefit from it. That's what goes into cash and capital. And then that leaves the surplus we just talked about of
$153,000. Explain what's going on at the station. A couple of questions I have. Let's see. I was looking at, we were talking about a lot about listener support and why it's not increasing. And this is a topic that we've talked about in the National Finance Committee and also in the PNB. And the executive director has actually, when we talked about this, and the executive director who has said that what it really requires, and when we start talking about WBAI, whose listener support income has just totally gone down over the years, and that there's always a, we're in crisis again at BAI. And one of the reasons that we need to do something different at BAI, which is a question I continue to ask, and the ED says that, you know, it's about programming. And what will have to happen is that the other stations that have successful programming, and KPFA, who has programming that has been successful, that's the type of programming that, you know, working with WBAI management and LSB, that is the type of programming that we're going to have and move to WBAI, because it's, you can't continue to do the same thing and continue to have the really bad results, because it impacts KPFA and the rest of the network, and KPFA has been successful. So again, the key to all of this in terms of listener support is programming, to have successful programming, to get the listeners there, and that's what's going to bring the listeners on, including programming for the youth and for those people in their 20s and 30s who are out there making that income, and we need to draw those people back to KPFA and to Pacifica to make it more exciting. And just a couple of other points, we had mentioned KPFK and their fundraising. Well, during their fundraising drive, there's been discussion on the PNB that KPFK actually used one of the programmers that was banned from WBAI, Gary Null, to do programming during the fund drive, and he actually resulted in almost, I think, about $200,000 in funds that were raised for KPFK. And this is a programmer who was, like, kicked off the air, and there's a legal suit by this programmer against WBAI, well, against the management of WBAI for that very thing. But again, the key, as you see, is always programming. And that's where we have to have investment. We're talking about what are we doing. We have to invest in that programming, in the staff that is innovative and that has that is keeping in tune to what the listeners need, particularly in this time of, as always, we're in a parallel universe. We have, of course, as we all know, we have George Bush's government and we have the colony. So again, the key is programming and how do you get that information out and make it exciting. And the other thing is that on the national level, this is KPFA, but on national level, the CFO has actually this time not forecast major donations at the same level as it was, as we enjoyed this year, because you cannot predict, as Lois and Alex Bryan said too, that, you know, people dying and leaving their homes and property to Pacifica. That's just something you can't predict. So in order to do that, you can expect it to a certain degree, because anyone who's an actuary knows that things will happen, and hopefully KPFA and Pacifica means enough to people for people to put KPFA and Pacifica in their wills, and I hope that they continue to do that. The other thing is that just trying to look at, this is just some little minor things. We talked about headcount again, and as we see, KPFA's budget that Lois has and Brian Halpin have pulled together over the years, this is the only station that does this type of job. And I mentioned earlier, we have a meeting next week on Thursday in L.A. where we'll meet with operations and we will discuss budgets, and hopefully we can, some of the motions that Brian had brought up, those are the things that are on the agenda from finance, from our finance committee meeting, to actually put that on the agenda to talk with operations. So, and KPFA's budget is something, this format is something that we want to, I would have loved Lois to be there, but it's in the afternoon on Thursday and it's not midday. So we will present this as something that we want the other stations to present. But on the headcount thing, it's very good. We have in here, the salaries and the number of people, but, you know, again, we have this contingency of bringing down by 2.5 people, and we're gonna have to have what those actual numbers are, because we went into the same type of planning last year. We said that we would reduce, and we're still at 40 full-time equivalents. So, and we're actually, the number here is 41 or 39.6 or 40. So if we're expecting to bring down another 2.5, then that's something that we'll definitely have to have in the plan and not do some type of note at the in the budget. That is not the way you do planning. So, and just a little thing on the KPFA local station board budget, we have in here, I saw we have in here a parliamentarian for $800. So just want to know, this year we've been successful since Bonnie has been the chair, and before then with Richard, we no longer needed a parliamentarian for our LSV meetings because we have people with skills to actually handle this position, and with our vice chairs too. So would like to know why we dropped in that $800. That's a minor thing. And on the headcount again, just let me say that this is excellent in terms of having the people there, having the salaries on a monthly basis, but we also just need a spreadsheet to drop those numbers for each month too. I know you have that, so if you can just provide that, that we, and Lois has it, because Lois's planning is, you know, not that she's here, she's actually the top person, I say, in Pacifica, that includes the national office as far as planning and budgeting and being able to do what she's doing. And it's true. So again, what Pacifica needs, and including the notes that Brian has, which are things we've talked about, is that we need to make sure that what the time and the skills that we've pulled together, that we need to communicate this and get this out to the rest of Pacifica. Because again, the only way you can correct things is when you have discord, you know, then there's always suspicion. But when you have things that are open and you can see it, then there's no suspicion, and then you can move forward. So there are a couple other questions I think people have about specific items on this budget, and if I have more, I would like to come back.
Cool. We'll loop around to you. I just wanted to surf on a couple things you said. First is programming. You make really good points about programming. Obviously, programming is going to drive the on-air fundraising. I think we have to be careful, though, to separate that out from what our job is during the budgeting process. The budgeting process, it's our job to make our best guess about what we're going to make with current realities. You can't bank on a show you haven't put on the air yet. Even if you think it might raise a lot of money, it just wouldn't be prudent. You have to budget based on the results you already have. So good programming, right on. Good budgeting, assume the current trends persist in revenue.
Well, let me just say that my position has always been is that your listener support should be 10% less than what you achieve in the current year. So that's the way I think we should budget. And the last treasurer, Marnie Tattersall, she goes along with that. So absolutely not. You know, I'm certainly not promoting putting more. My position, my budgeting position, and I have a little experience in finance, that it should be at least 10% lower, because again, just like with major donors, you cannot, we're getting funds based on the generosity of our listeners. And you cannot, that's something that comes in, cash comes in, and that's something you cannot always predict. And when it comes, if it's better than that 10% reduction than the prior year, that's very good. You overachieve your goals. But you don't forecast based on what you achieve this current year.
So the other thing I'll point out with relationship to headcount is that this budget assumes that we have a fully staffed organization. That means we have a development director and a general manager not a development director who's simultaneously serving as interim general manager, which certainly we all hope. This year we filled one vacancy, which was the program director position on the staff roster, while still overall drawing down the number of full-time equivalents on staff at KPFA, largely through attrition. I think there's been some very prudent and opportune trimming of expense here. It's been pretty much without drama within the station, which is good. Sorry, LaVarne, I can't remember what of all the other points you covered. Did you want to add anything, Lois? Oh, the parliamentarian. You know, we used the parliamentarian for an initial board training this year, and the intent was to keep a little. This would cover about 10 hours of a professional parliamentarian in case any crisis should consume the board, that we can fall back on someone who might be able to sort out the most tangled parts in a pinch. In the context of a $4.5 million budget, it's $800. I don't know if it's worth quibbling over, but I think it is probably a good fallback for us to have in the LSB budget. Not to plan on having someone at every meeting, but knowing we can grab someone if we have to. Because we also don't know, there's an election in the fall, you don't know who the chair is following that election, what support they might need, what the composition of the board is, what training new members might need, and so forth.
I think that it is the fiduciary responsibility of every one of these LSB members to put someone in his chair who has the skills to be chair.
I'm sorry. Anthony, you're holding the microphone expectantly, and I've been moving down the table. Did you want to go?
I do have a question. Okay. Thanks for being here today, Lois.
Thank you.
Page 3, line 6200, I see health benefits are actually slightly lower for the coming fiscal year than the actuals. How was that achieved?
That was the actual reduction in the FTE benefit line. So the FTEs went down, the benefits go down accordingly.
So the reduction of about, was it 3.0? FTEs?
2.5, I believe.
That one change kept health benefits flatter or slightly lower.
Correct. That does have an increase in benefit cost in it, which occurs in...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. One situation we have with the benefits is that KPFA staff roster is very spread out. There's two part-time people for every full-time person on the staff roster. The union contract gives anyone who's at more than 50% time full benefits for dependents as well?
Dependents are covered at halftime or greater, yes.
So as the cost of health insurance and dental insurance has skyrocketed in recent years, which is something that's hitting every employer who provides benefits, it's basically penalized us for having a lot of part-time people rather than a few full-time people. So when you're doing reorganizing, as we have as people left their jobs this year, there's been some reassignment of responsibilities, you have the opportunity to consolidate into more fully funded jobs and lower your benefits costs without having an equivalent drop in your labor hours. All right. Who was next? I'm going down this way. I see Chandra.
Thank you, Brian, for doing an excellent job, and thank you especially, Lois, because you were always terrific. I have to say first an apology that I'm sorry that I introduced the budget amendment that I did. I didn't realize it was going to create such hoopla, and I do support most of the proposals under the Build Back motions that you put forward, and I'm glad they're going to be addressed on a national level because I think it's more of a national issue than a local issue in particular, except for the issue of the rent of the Pacifica National Office, which they should be paying they should be paying KPFA. I'm disturbed about reductions in fundraising days because it seems to be a trend towards less listener support and more, not necessarily major donor, but more emphasis on internet fundraising and grant writing and all other types of alternative funding. I would like to see, I do support the listener fund drive, and I do think that there are problems with it. I think there are some people that do fund drives on air that turn off a lot of listeners in the way they make their fundraising appeals. And I think there could be a better approach to this. And I would like to see KPFA explore that as opposed to reducing on-air fund drives and fund driving days and therefore de-emphasizing listener contributions to the station. I think that goes hand in hand with the fact that we haven't heard anything about the local station board election on the air. Probably a lot of listeners in the room that are here don't even know that we're having an election and that you have to be a member by August 31st. You have to have paid $25 as a member or 3 hours volunteer in order to either run as a local station board candidate or to vote in the local station board election. I think this is another de-emphasis on getting listener involvement in the station, and I personally find that of great concern. I think one of the ways, wearing my PNB hat now, I think one of the ways that the local station board, maybe in collaborating with other local station boards around the network, needs to address budget shortfalls within the foundation is to deal with the issue of a bloated national office budget, and that's particularly in the area of finance. I don't think that's true for other areas. High salaries, lots of staff, questionable as to performances as to what people are doing for all the hours that they work.
We probably shouldn't discuss personnel issues in public, performance, things like that. I'm just cautioning you.
Well, I'm not talking about individuals,
right.
And I'm not talking about individual performance. I think this information should be public. I am concerned about where the money comes from and the fact that there's too much money that is paid to the national office and not enough to local stations, especially when we pay 20% central service donation. So, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that I wanted to thank Lois and Lemlem and the other management and KPFA for supporting the Disability Access Caucus Committee at KPFA, and we have submitted our budget priorities this year. They are incorporated in the budget, and I do thank you for that.
So really good points about national, as you know. I agree with you on all that stuff. And I think we can discuss that after we wrap up the budget and thank Lois, because she has other places to be. In terms of on-air days of fundraising, I'm actually a little surprised at what I'm hearing, because in the past I felt a sentiment or a pressure from this board that we should be trying to lower the number of days we spend on-air asking for money. If you look at the historic chart that you have on page 13 of your budget packet, one of the things it does is it shows you how many days KPFA spent on the air fundraising. What we're proposing in this budget, if all goes according to plan, that's no fund drive extensions. It's 54 days of fundraising. I'm sorry, it looks like it didn't print out a tally. You have to do a little math there. As recently as 2003, we were only doing 52. In 2002, before the summer fund drive became a fixture, we were doing 43. What you want to do, I think, with your on-air fundraising is reach some equilibrium point where you are giving your listeners ample opportunity to give, but you are not alienating them by preempting too much regular programming with fundraising. And I do think it's admirable that the KPFA management has made it a priority to make some progress in that direction, because we're under pressure frequently from the national office to extend our fund drives to meet or beat our goals, because they count on 20% of what we raise. And when you're in the middle of a bad drive for whatever reason, whether it's $4 a gallon gas or that no premiums have really taken off or that Amy's been plugging by cell phone because she's out of the country, it's pretty demoralizing to just kind of drag it out and drag it out and watch your returns diminish. If you have the financial flexibility to do so, which we've had, we're going to finish this year with a surplus, even though we missed a couple goals in our drives. I think it's better to show good faith with our listeners and end those drives on time. So for what it's worth, the short-term trend is down in fundraising, but days spent fundraising, we're still up versus what we spent fundraising 5 years ago. Sorry, I was going around the room. Noel, I called on you once, so I'll come back to you after everyone else has their first chance. Annie, next.
So thank you, everyone, for your hard work. What I'm hearing is that there's really two components that work very closely together in budgeting. One is the nuts and bolts, what's real, and then there's the philosophy. Where do we want to be nudging, especially as we complete a budget? We're all very alerted, and we're all looking at it. And then we just forget about it till this time next year. And what I'm wondering, if I could hear from maybe both of you, is how can we nudge with guidelines? How can we say, okay, let's look at this. We like this, we like that, we don't like this. How can we put recommended policy forward for management so that when hires come up, for example, Sunday salon hire, when that becomes an evaluation point across the intentions, the philosophy, the nuts and bolts, look at the choices. When we ask the IPD to make a choice, can we give her guidelines that actually affect her choices that then are reflected in the budget next year? So what I'm saying is it's not just a tsunami that hits us every year, that it's actually we're a community planning its future. I mean, here we are in this devastating war, let's be real. We can't keep expecting people to pull money out of their pockets if there's more important things that need to be funded, and so that we need to broaden the horizon of where we're getting our money. We need to diversify. So I think we have to be ready to be flexible, especially in these, you know, horrid political times. So, of course, programming, but then we need to look at the reality of the financial components, and then how do we apply this annually to how we function, how we make our economic decisions throughout the year, so that when it comes to next year, we have our jewels, we have our goals in front of us, and then we can say, it worked, let's go here, let's pull back, let's do this or that. Anyway, do you have an idea of how that could actually impact decision-making on a daily basis at the station?
The budget's perpetual. We're constantly talking about it at the station. You can't have a budget that's not perpetual. And I keep one on my desktop that I constantly make changes to as the year goes on so that nothing's left out the next year. But as far as the board input, I really don't know the bylaws well. I'll let Brian speak to that one.
In terms of programming, which you are referencing, Annie, the bylaws anticipate us participating on a policy level, working with management to ensure that the station's policies and procedures for making programming decisions are working in a fair and collaborative fashion. In terms of finance, it's reviewing and approving the budget. And I think in terms of priorities...
People are getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
They're full-time employees.
Right.
That is where the intersection of programming and finance...
Yeah. So
finances occurs, and that's where
right.
We can actually do something.
Right, absolutely. So, for instance, were we in an enormous surplus position? Had, in a fictional parallel universe, our administration invaded Iran 6 months ago, and had our fund drives, as they do in those times, gone through the roof and far exceeded their expectations, and we were wondering what to do with an extra few $100,000, we might be talking about launching a KPFA-originated afternoon time Democracy Now or something like that, and that would be a discussion that's part of the budgeting process. Right now we're basically in a retrenchment mode in terms of what the trends are, and as we've missed goals, management has made small discretionary decisions that play into this budget. When Sunday Salon's host and producer both turned over at the same time, they cut the total number of staff hours going into that program because they thought they could get some more efficiency there. and then that lowers what we have to budget for it. Next year, it's relatively painless. No one's getting laid off. So I don't know. I don't know if that's an adequate answer, but that's where we're at. Going around, Tico had asked me if he wanted to talk, then we'll go to second comments and questions. So
seems
Tico
like
next.
Half the board has disappeared. Do we need a break?
So obviously from my attitude earlier, I'm very interested that these motions about the billbacks be passed. I generally tend to feel that we're discussing the orbit of the moon on the LSB, and I would like to actually pass something that makes a difference. I believe Brian had commented that these bill back changes would have made about a $100,000 difference. And I also know that there's a lot of politics behind the scenes that we don't understand from our limited point of view. I was hoping that maybe either or both of you could discuss what benefit adding $100,000 to the budget would have, and if it would in effect, and also the timing of these motions in relation to the budget cycle, and then also that the impact it has for people at the station personally, because that means that we get to shoulder responsibility of telling Pacifica that they're being unjust with the donations versus you guys having to do it while you're working. So does that make sense? And if you guys could comment.
I should disclose one thing before I get into that I meant to. We have budgeted here $2,000 a month rental income from the national office. We have budgeted $2,000 a month rental income from the national office. They don't see eye to eye with us on that. When the national board approves the budget, our position is that they've made that a matter of policy, but in the past that rental income has not come into us. So you could subtract $24,000 from the bottom line, and that would be a reasonable assessment of where the status quo gets you in this budget. We're still in the black by about $50,000. So, if the National Board were to pass a resolution saying fair market value for the space that the Pacifica National Office occupies, and we built and maintain with our listeners' donations, that would make a $24,000 roughly difference with the station. The motion actually says they'll look at comparable rents. The CFO will negotiate with the general manager, and if there's a dispute, the board will arbitrate. Same thing with KU costs. We maintain the satellite connection that moves Pacifica syndicated programming out to all the stations who are other Pacifica members and affiliates. They get Democracy Now! Through us off the KU satellite. That's staff time. It's staff time for repairs. Michael Yoshida, our chief engineer, who earns a senior management level salary, recently spent 32 hours replacing a failing piece of equipment in our transceiver. It's also staff time in terms of a daily routine of making sure the uplinks are happening on time. And we believe that's a national expense that should be distributed across the network. So that would be an additional $24,000. In terms of free speech radio news contributions, what's happened is that when the Pacifica Network News existed, this was funded straight out of the national office's budget, the levy and their other sources of income. When Pacifica was going through its crisis, which was also a fiscal crisis, and Free Speech Radio News was emerging like a phoenix from the ashes, as they tell the story, some of you were here, I wasn't, they made an arrangement that 25% of each station's CPB grant, what's called its community service grant, would be taken above and beyond the levy to pay for Free Speech Radio News. It's because 25% of those grants is earmarked for what's called national programming production and acquisition. It has to be spent in some fashion on national programming. Now, it's a little bit of a shell game because you could already count Democracy Now! Towards that in your accounting, and you would have released all your obligations under the CPB grant. But nevertheless, that was an arrangement. That was an arrangement that went through the National Board, as I understand it. What's happened over the past couple of years is that as the Pacifica National Office has negotiated increases with Free Speech Radio News, which I agree that they desperately need. If there is an underfunded part of Pacifica, Free Speech Radio News is it. They're operating on half the budget that Pacifica Network News used to have. they've pushed those increases onto the stations. So that next year, rather than spending the equivalent of 25% of our CPP grant, we would be spending 34% of our CPP grant. The difference next year, I think, I'd have to do a quick chicken scratch, but would be about $17,000. But the longer term effect is that we're drawing a line and saying, no more. You know, if you negotiate further increases, set some priorities at the national level. You have to exercise some fiscal discipline, too. The Pacifica National Office is supporting a Washington bureau that's one person with, according to Pacifica's publicly available tax form, a compensation package totaling $90,000 a year. Well, Free Speech Radio News has its own Washington reporter. That person's producing a headline service, but without the benefit of any integration with Free Speech Radio News's international pool of freelancers. At some point, someone in the national office has to say, I can't keep pushing added expenses onto the stations. I have to set some priorities here, make some hard decisions, maybe combine some functions for efficiency. In terms of the archives day of fundraising, it would be hard to quantify that impact. The problem is that the more days you spend on the air fundraising, you can reasonably expect that you'll raise less per day. So it was disturbing that we went from one national day of fundraising for the archives to two national days last year, and we're being asked to budget for two this year. We know it has an impact on the fundraising we do the rest of the year. We just don't know how much. So I can't put a hard number on that. I can tell you that the net on an average day of fundraising for us, in other words, how much cash we have left in our pocket after people have paid our pledges, after we've paid the credit card transaction fees, after we've given KFCF their cut and the national office their cut, and after we've paid for premiums and shipped them out, is probably somewhere in the order of $35,000 net.